Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Alchemy of Light broadcast. I am Jamil Graham, your host, and I'm very pleased to welcome you today on Saturday, the 16th of July. And today, I have a special guest that I am well, I'm just going to begin. No explanation required. Today I'm going to welcome the ancestors to speak with us, to be with us, and to share with us the great teachings of this time in the Hopi Blue Kachina, Red Kachina prophecy. This prophecy, many of the indigenous prophecies all speak of these end/beginning times. And through a series of events, very quick happening events, this came to me in the last week. And since it's come to me, actually the events that led to it have been quite pronounced. So I am grateful to welcome the ancestors today to be with us, to be with all humanity on this changing planet, in this changing universe, that we may all find our true gifts inside of our heart, that we all may find true peace and joy in being human and sharing in the gifts of this time. I'm going to read the prophecy, and then I'm going to welcome callers to pass the proverbial talking stick around the BBS radio campfire to share anything that this prophecy evokes, things that you may recognize going on now, things that you might be inspired to pursue. Maybe you've heard of it, maybe you've heard it, maybe you would just like to share a commentary. So I will read it and then welcome guests to call in and join the campfire. The call-in numbers are 530-413-4510 or 888-815-9756. The Hopi Blue Kachina, Red Kachina prophecy. An ancient Hopi prophecy states, when the blue star Kachina makes its appearance in the heavens, the fifth world will emerge. This will be the day of purification. It will come when the Sasquasohu Blue Kachina dances in the plaza and removes his mask. In the final day, we will look up in the heavens and we will witness the return of the two brothers who helped create this world in the birthing time. Pogonkoya is the guardian of our North Pole, and his brother, Polongahoya, is the guardian of the South Pole. In the final days, the Blue Star Kachina will come to be with his nephews, and they will return the Earth to its natural rotation, which is anti-clockwise. The twins will be seen in our northwestern sky, and they will come to visit flying in their patavotas, flying shields, to see who have remembered the original teachings. They will bring many of their star family with them in the final days. The return of the Blue Kachina, who is also known as Nangasohu, will be the forewarning that tells us there will soon be a new day, new way of life, and a new world coming. They will start as fires that will burn within us. We will burn with desire and conflict if we do not remember the original teaching and return to a peaceful way of life. Not far behind will come the purifier, the Red Kachina, who will bring the day of purification. on this day the earth, her creatures, and all life as we know it, will be offered a chance to change forever. There will be messages that precede the coming of the purifier. They will leave messages to those on earth that remember the old ways. The messages will be found on the living stone, through the sacred grains, and even the waters. From the purifier will issue forth a great red light. All things will change in their manner of being. Every living thing will be given the opportunity, from the largest to the smallest living thing. Those who return to the ways given to us in the original teaching and live a natural way of life will not be touched by the coming of the purifier. They will survive and build a new world. Only in the ancient teachings will they have the ability to understand the messages to be found. It is important to understand these messages will be found on every living thing, even within our bodies, even within a drop of blood. Many will appear to have lost their soul in the final days. So intense will be the nature of these changes that those who are weak in spirit will go insane, for we are nothing without spirit. Only those who return to values of the old ways will be able to find peace of mind. For in the earth, they will find relief from the madness that will be around us. Many people of this time will be empty in spirit, for they have no sampaku, no life force in their eyes. As we get closer to the time of the purifier, there will be many who walk like ghosts through their cities, through canyons they have constructed in their man-made mountains. Those who walk through these places will be very heavy in their walk. It will appear almost painful as they take each step, for they have become very disconnected from their spirit and the earth. After the arrival of the twins, they begin to vanish before your eyes so much like muck smoke. Others will have great deformities both in their minds and upon their bodies. There will be those who walk in their body that are not from this reality, for many of the gateways that once protected us will be open. There will be much confusion. Confusion between the sexes, the children and their elders. Life will get very perverted and there will be little social order in these times. Many will wish for the mountains themselves to fall upon them and end their misery. Still others will appear untouched by what is occurring. Those who remember the original teaching and have reconnected with their heart and spirit, those who remember who their mother and father are, the Pahana, who left to live in the mountains and forests. When the purifier comes, we will see him first as a small red star, which will come very close and sit in our heavens watching us, watching to see how well we have remembered the sacred teaching. This purifier will show us many miraculous signs in our heavens. In this, we will know that our Creator is not a dream. Even those who do not feel their connection to Spirit will see the face of the Creator across the sky. Things unseen will be felt strongly. Many things begin to occur that do not make sense, for reality will be shifting back. We will receive many warnings, allowing us to change our way from below the earth as well as above. Then one morning, we will awaken to a red dawn. The sky will be the color of blood, and many things will begin to happen that right now we are not sure of their exact nature. for much of reality will not be as it is now. There will be many strange beasts upon the earth in those days, some from past and some that we have never seen. The nature of mankind will seem strange as we walk between worlds and we house many spirits even within our bodies. After a time, we will again walk with our brothers from the stars and rebuild the earth, but not until the purifier has left his mark upon the universe. No living thing will go untouched here or in the heavens. The way through this time is said to be found in our heart and reuniting with our spiritual self, getting simple and returning to living with and upon this earth in harmony with her creatures. Remembering we are the caretakers, the fire keepers of spirit. Our relatives from the stars are coming home to see how well we have fared in our journey. It is time to reconnect with your spirit and your Earth Mother. Peace and blessing.
Are you still?
This prophecy is a gift to all humanity from our elders, from our ancestors, from a time past. And the way that it speaks to me is one of great relief because I see these things actually happening. And the way that this started in my consciousness about 3 weeks ago. I had a dream. And in my dream, it was a lucid blip that suddenly I saw a very clear blue sky. And then I saw a butterfly coming. And the butterfly was flying around me and playing with me. And I was admiring the colors of this butterfly. It was really beautiful. It had a poppy orange and a really unique border around its wings and a dark black border with a blue and a fine weave of white. And it was just perfect and the way nature is. And it was just stunning, and it was really flirting with me and teasing with me, and I was really loving it, and it was loving me, and it flew away, and then it came back, and it flew right in front of me until I caught my eye on the three white circles on the wing. The one on the top was the largest, the one in the middle was the smallest set back, and the one below it was closer to the one on the top, not quite as big, nearly as big, closer in size to the smallest, but bigger than that one, and not anywhere near as big as the big one. And I was really taken by that dream, and I woke up, and it haunted me, those three white circles, what was those three white circles? And then I put it away, you know, you go on with your life, and you carry on. Then it came back when I started hearing about three comets. And three comets, what is that? You know, I the fear stuff about LNN was going on, and I knew people were doing programs and this and that. And I was like, what's up with three comets? Suddenly it really wouldn't go away. And immediately, literally within 15 minutes of doing a search, I found this. And when I read this, I saw our world right now. I saw our world. I could see it. So I will share with you things that I saw, but to be respectful of the time and place, this is writing from an original language that is not English. This is to be taken intuitively from our heart. And it's always a question when I'm interpreting anything, what the literal meaning might be. But there are so many things that stand out as actually happening here, and so many messages that keep coming that are validating it, that there are definitely things happening. So I'll begin with the condition of humanity that it speaks of. As we get close to the time of the purifier, there will be many who walk like ghosts through their cities, through canyons they have constructed in their man-made mountains. Those who walk through these places will be very heavy in their walk. It will appear almost painful as they take each step, for they have become very disconnected from their spirit and the earth. Now, can you all think of somebody like that you've noticed wandering around from one material thing, finding it empty, putting it down, finding another material thing and finding it empty and putting it down? I see this happening at an alarming rate, and it's intensified by the economic dissolution, by the debtor economy dissolving that actually needs to dissolve, that's part of this purification that does not set the human process in a way that honors the dignity of the human. The debtor economy is dead. And people know that in their souls, but they're holding on in their bodies because I guess we're afraid of change or whatever the literal translation might be. It's unique to every body. But I see these people walking around empty, and I see them in their eyes, not there, and I see them suffering. I see them lining up, waiting to get out of here. I've even had people tell me point blank that they really are ready to go. They just want out of here, and I'm hearing this at an increasing amount. This is really happening. People are really, really going through this right now. And then this part about there will be many strange beasts upon the earth in those days. Some will be from past and some that we have never seen. And that combined with the part about the people who are not in their bodies, that spirits walk in their body. And I think that we can all look at the Federal Reserve Bank and see some of these extremely strange-looking creatures in human bodies. And I mean that as objectively as possible. But just look in the eyes of some of these characters that have hijacked this country, and more than I can even fathom. But just look at those eyes. What kind of a creature is that? Those eyes are like glass. There's something different about them. They are not from us. They are from somewhere else. They are from something else. They behave to agree with that. They clearly have no love for humanity. The decisions that they make and the ways that they have enacted atrocities and continue to this day to manipulate and harangue and break down and interfere and hijack the natural evolution of the human is becoming ever more clear. It couldn't be more obvious at this point if we take off our denial glasses and look. And look. Now, there's a movie that's a mainstream movie. It's called Inside Job, and it's about the financial fiasco of 2008. And that is continuing to this day. And I put that on my website. It's on thealchemyoflight.org. It's free. I put all of the pieces on it from YouTube because even people who have been clinging to their denial glasses, and anytime they hear anything about, you know, those conspiracy theorists, just throw them in the trash. Well, people, we're not talking about conspiracy theory. We are talking about a real situation of a collusion of people and energies that have not got the best interest for humanity. I don't think they have hearts. They just plain don't have hearts. They have cold souls from somewhere, but they do not have love. They have no love. And if they had a drop of love, then they would show some remorse for the atrocities that their very clearly defined and contrived debacle in the fiasco of the financial dissolution. It is so plainly laid out in that movie. It is a good movie, especially if you are just a beginner, especially if you really have not looked, been willing to open your mind at all to the possibility that there might well be another agenda going on here besides just humanity, you know, flailing in its ignorance and youth. There just might be more to this picture. And that movie is very actually hopeful. It lays it out. It's not apologetic. It is really clear. But that is a good place to look at some of these characters and see for yourself what is going on there for yourself in your opinion and your experience. But we've got to take off our denial glasses. We must take off our denial glasses because these changes are actually really, really happening. This is not a prophecy that was passed down because these guys were, you know, not having anything to do. The indigenous cultures that have presented these prophecies for all humanity, the fact that this is even in my hand, that it's even circulating on the internet, which you can also find written on my website, alchemyoflight.org, in the blog, the fact that I have this is a testimony of the power and the strength of the truth and of the power and the strength of the human spirit. Because many, 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 many incredible attempts to decimate the entire indigenous population have been in full force for millennia. And there's more than one reason for that. There is more than one reason for that. When this talks about connecting with the earth, this world we are living in here in 2011 in the city has become the absolute abomination of nature. We don't even relate to the weather. We can change our weather. We go in when it's hot and turn on air conditioning. We go in when it's cold, turn on heat. We do not even relate to the plants. We don't notice that the plants are happy or the plants are sad. We are so locked in our very busy world of what? What is it? Money! Money has replaced nature. Money has been supplanted in our consciousness as our sustenance, our source of sustenance for life. We have been brainwashed. We have been fooled. We have been lied to. We have become believers that we need money to survive, that we need money to pay for a roof over our head, to pay for our complete disconnection from nature. We need money to pay for the utilities that connect all these wires of madness in our life. We believe that. We've come to believe we need money. We have completely forgotten that it is the earth who gives us sustenance. It is the earth that grows the apples. It is the earth that gives us the wood. It is the earth that gives us even the leather from the animals. It is the earth that feeds us and houses us and nurtures us and loves us. It is not money. Money has been imposed as a force to enslave us. And it has done a very, very, very good job. Because we still believe it. We still believe it. So we can look at that movie, Inside Job, and we can have a look at the people who are calling the shots. Not the top tier. Nope. Doesn't even touch the Federal Reserve Bank. Doesn't even go there. Okay? So that is just to warm you up to the fact that it is not what you think it is. And now people are hanging on the edge, waiting for the government to this and waiting for the government to that. Why are we waiting for a corrupt system to take care of us when the corruption is so deep and so profound that I don't think even the people there in Washington with good intentions can get their head around just how profound and deep the corruption is. So why are we waiting for them to figure out how we are going to be all right? We have each other. We have planet Earth. We have the love in our hearts that can open at any time. We can do that at any time. The power of truth is rising. It is simply truth that we should reclaim the planet. It is just the way it has been decided. It's meant to be that humanity will go on and humanity will recreate the earth and humanity will clear out these lies that we have all believed that have impregnated our consciousness with viruses of separation and disease of hatred and fear of one another and for one another. We can change that. We must change that in ourselves. That is the only work to do. When we take care of our little part of it, when we open our heart, when we open our minds, when we are willing to take off our denial glasses and realize that there's more to the picture than we've to this point realize, and there's not a walking soul that cannot say that. Nobody knows the whole story because we're not supposed to know the whole story. And if we knew the whole story, we wouldn't bother to come here. This isn't about knowing the whole story. This is about learning and growing and merging with the mystery and becoming the dreamer and dreaming the dream that we want to live. That's the power of the human spirit. We can become the dream of our dream. So are we living our dream? Are we the people we want to be? When we wake up in the morning, are we happy to make that day? Are we excited about the challenges that are waiting for us? Are we really looking forward to how we can get in there and grow some more? Are we happy to be alive on planet Earth? Are we connecting with our true dream? Or is somebody else's dream been inserted and catching us in those moments when that energy could be for us? And we can go in there and take that back. That is ours. Like this prophecy is ours. This is a gift from the heavens that has been passed by miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, that it still exists long after these people have all but been completely decimated. And I really have to give the big thanks to all the brave souls who brought this to us, to all the brave souls that to this day are with us now, even incarnate, who are even with us now, who are sending love and prayers because they understand the plight of humanity. They can see the whole picture more than we can because they understand that they understand the life of being connected to the planet. They understand the life of being in harmony with all life. And we don't. We don't. We really don't. We have no clue. And we dream of it, some of us, but even then, when we get out there, you still have to learn a few things over again, you know, like how many of us know how to build a fire? How many of us know how to put it out? Simple stuff. This, and that is not really what we need to do. I have another part of this that really, really, really speaks to me, the part of the about messages and how messages will be found on the living stone through the sacred grain and even the waters. From the purifier will issue forth a great red light. All things will change in their manner of being. Every living thing will be given the opportunity to change from the largest to the smallest living thing. Well, that's pretty special. That means that we can do something, that this inevitable craziness that's being sold to us actually isn't inevitable after all. That's what that means to me. And there's another part of this whole thing that I've pondered in the whole idea, what is it to get back in touch with nature, and what is nature, and does that mean we're going to live in caves? You know, what does that mean? Do we go back to teepees? Is that what being with nature is? And in my meditation, I got a very strong no. Absolutely not. Because along with the profound gift of these prophecies, we also have the profound gifts from extraterrestrials and Nikola Tesla, who brought us zero-point technologies. There are existing technologies that harness the power of the universe, that do not require grid systems, that do not require wires. And what does that mean? We are not controlled by them. It means they are free, which is a lot to do with why they have been denied humanity. Again, we have reason to question what's really going on here. These technologies have been available since the beginning of the last century, and they are not going away. They are coming back more and more. And thank you, thank you, thank you to all the incredible, brave people who are working that front today and who have been working it all along. And Nikola Tesla was very famous in his time for being opposed to copyrights and patents. He was adamant that his development and his experimentation should be public knowledge, public property, that it belonged to all humankind. Well, he was not very popular with the establishment. And you know what? He is the one who brought us electricity. Nikola Tesla brought us electricity. And you know, they don't even want to give him credit for that. Here in the Science Museum in Boston, you know, all the great, you know, prostitute institutions we got here, they call themselves higher education. Well, they're higher something already, I'll tell you that. I went to the Science Museum recently and watched their electrical show. They did not mention Nikola Tesla. He's the one who brought us electricity. He's the one who brought us key components to accessing the zero point that have been usurped by the military. Surprise, surprise. I could go there. I don't want to go there. I just wanted to make it clear that we have so much available to us, and it's thanks to the brave souls that not only have carried these torches, but have put up with so much crap from people who weren't able or interested to look and see for themselves just the possibility that there might be something to it. It's really interesting to be working for humanity when you have to fight humanity, when you want to bring a zero-point technology to get us off the grid, to get us in a much stronger place in the event of solar, you know, flares or changing direction of the planet or increasing electromagnetic energy because of comets passing. These electrical systems that we have are hyper-vulnerable. Anything could set them off in a heartbeat. The zero-point technologies would be much more in tune with the universe. That is the whole point. So that's good news. That's good news. Now, I encountered somebody yesterday. Speaking of our electrical things and our dependency on internet and our dependency on wires and now wireless wires and all of that, and I have really been questioning how that works for me on a personal level, but I've also been aware of the vulnerability and a lot of things about it I have been questioning. So I was working on my newsletter yesterday. I was really close to publishing, and the internet went off in our house, completely kaputsky gonzo. Well, I said, all right, then, I'm going to take a walk. I went down the hill, and I encountered a gentleman who invited me to lunch. And I was all, well, I just, you know, but it's like, what, it's a half hour, come have lunch. So I went to have lunch. He started talking to me about the work that he's doing, installing ATM credit card access to laundry machines. And he's been bringing it up to his bosses. What are you going to do when the electrical grid doesn't work? He tells me this. So that tells me that it's definitely in the consciousness. It is in the consciousness. He had a lot of really interesting affirmations, and let's go into this part here about the changing of the planet direction. In the final days, the blue star Kachina will come to be with his nephews, and they will return the Earth to its natural rotation, which is anti-clockwise. There have been major Earth changes, much more subtle than some of the major earthquakes, but very substantial. And I have been living on the beach the last couple of years and had a lot of time on the beach because I've been basically dependent on the waters in a very intense healing period and very, very close with the water. Very close with the season, and I've been walking on this beach since 2004. I know this beach very well and the patterns of the migration, and it was my intention to be there and to commune with the sea and the sand and the beings and the birds and the life there. In the last year, I have noticed that the sun itself is now setting substantially more north. And I first noticed that because the shadows were moving. And I said, wow, the shadows were moving. That's intense. So I got out my compass and I started looking and noticed watching the sun literally now setting much farther north. At first, that was very traumatic. I mean, the sun changing that much is not a little thing. In the way that the Earth rotates, in the way it disperses its entire energy field from the waters to the rains to everything that's affected, that is a substantial shift. And in my research, I've seen people say, I'm not the only one that's noticed it, and thank goodness for that, that anywhere from 13 to 20%. Is the range that I've seen, and I don't have the equipment to measure the degree. I can just tell you I have certainly watched it. Then with the beginning with the solar, beginning with the equinox, beginning with the solstice eclipse on the last year, the changes grew much faster. The light on the planet has radically changed. And I'm sure that it was changing before because nothing really changes fast. And I'm very opposed to dates for that reason. You know, things don't happen on this date usually. And they never happen just because of this date. There's a process involved. There is a substantial coming in and a substantial going out. It's just like the tides. They come and they go. So these dates I find very distracting. You know, the whole idea of waiting for 12, 21, 2012, you know, that's ridiculous. What are we waiting for any date? What is going on with that? You know, we are in the change now. It is a process. And that is the truth with the planet itself. It is literally changing. So I noticed, I became more aware after then, and that doesn't mean it was not happening, but I personally became hyper aware of how much more light there is on the planet, and it's coming from a different source. It's not coming from just the sun rising. And before the solstice, it was really, really obvious, and I was really curious how it was going to change with the solstice, and it has changed slightly. It really has changed. The solstice still matters. When the light is increasing and the light is decreasing, it still affects this new source of light that I have observed. But the easiest way that I can offer anybody who wants to check this out is to get up early in the morning. It's getting really easy to see this. And just notice where the light comes from in the sky. And for me, the way I see it, as somebody who spends a lot of time outside, a lot of time outside, and a lot of time outside at night, I have always been a night kid. I always go out at night. So I have a particular tuning to this. So it might not be the same for you. So if you have never spent time out at night, give yourself, you know, a couple of months to go out and get to know it. Because these things take time to get to know. You have to develop your relationship with the cycles and develop your relationship with the seasons and really look at it, you know. And that is something that we all have to choose to invest in. So my experience is because of the, based on my experience of totality of it is one who spends a lot of time outside. So my awareness will be different than somebody else's. So I want to share with you my awareness as something you can work with or not, choose whatever you want to do with that. But the fact is that to build any kind of an awareness takes time. You have to really invest in it and commit to it. So what happens early in the morning now is that the sky lights up around 4. Between 4 and 5, there's a definite light in the sky that lights up the whole sky. It doesn't just come from the sun, the direction of where the sun is coming, but when the sun comes up, it makes the sun so much brighter. It is so much brighter. And, you know, I have heard many people here, and I'm in the Northeast, so our latitude is whatever it is, you know, it's different wherever you are at on the latitude. But I have certainly heard people here commenting on how much brighter it is at sunrise. And it's because there is a new source of light coming in. And then this gentleman that I mentioned yesterday, he again came out with, you know how interesting it was to him when he was hearing about Einstein and his friends who were talking about the some scientists who had this theory that the rotation of the Earth changed and that decimated the dinosaurs. And I said, really? And he said, yeah, that was actually a theory that was out. And I was fascinated because in this prophecy, it says that the planet will change its rotation. For a planet to change its rotation in a literal sense is a very different kind of meditation than a rotation in a metaphorical sense. It really got my attention. So then I was with another friend of mine last night, And I mentioned to her this. I was quite a scene yesterday. And she said, oh, yeah, that person's name is Velikovsky. And the book is called Worlds in Collision. And she told me this story of how he was another one of those, what I would call a Renaissance scientist. He was very gifted in many fields. He wrote several books, and his primary passion was the Oedipus syndrome, which is a psychosomatic thing that got its name from a Greek, when a child falls in love with the opposite sex parents and then goes, does his best to destroy the same sex parent. It's a syndrome, and he was very passionate about this, apparently, and this was just one of his areas. He went and did a great deal of work, and his book, Worlds in Collision, was about the astronomy, and he talked about when a comet came in and intensely moved the or affected the electromagnetic energy around the planet. And this intense energy literally did, in his theory, stop the planet, and then it began turning technically the opposite way. Now we would call it the wrong way, but we'll just call it for its opposite. We're living on it, so what's right and wrong here? But we're so the thing about him is, again, like Nikola Tesla, he was blackballed in the mainstream community. He was berated. His book, there's a big long story about what happened to this book. Apparently, 2 weeks after it came out in 1950, his publisher was harassed and was forced to sell the rights, and it was the bestseller in every single category in the first 2 weeks that it came out. The bestseller in the first 2 weeks, okay? He had something to say that people were ready to hear, but it was pulled from mainstream consciousness. That tells me there might be something to that, because like I said, it's kind of consistent. Nikola Tesla's trying to help us out. He's getting a bad deal. You know, this cat, I don't mean that to be disrespectful, but Mr. Velikovsky wrote several books. He's obviously not a stupid person. He's obviously a genius of his own right and writes a book that specifies this and many, many, many things, apparently. My friend has read the book. She has read all of his books. I had an amazing lesson about him and what his teachings were last night, and I wish I could repeat more of it for you, but it's all sinking in right now. So this is one of the things that I do remember clear enough to share with y'all is that in this book, Worlds in Collision, by Velikovsky, he was specifying how Venus was a hot planet. And that was one of the things that mainstream media was berating him for, because it was believed until the mid-70s, or it was propagandized until the mid-70s, that Venus was cold. But it turns out in the mid-70s that they find out he was actually quite right. That is just one thing that was quite right. Now, I'm bringing this up because the fact that the sun is setting now so much farther in the north, and now the tides are clearly reflecting it. The tide water is much higher, and I'm not saying there isn't some ice cap melting going on. I honestly don't believe that personally. I just don't get my head around that. I find it colder, not hotter. But I'm not going to say where all the water is coming from, but I'm going to point out something that seemed really basic science to me, and that is the Earth clearly tilting in some way to accommodate at least a 13-degree shift in the wind and where the sun sets is naturally going to affect all the water on the planet. So as an example, on my beach, on the beach that's been my gracious host, there are two very clear lines for the winter and the summer. The winter tide is much higher. That's when often storms will break over the walls, you know, and it is just much higher, hence the beach is much smaller. Then the equinox comes tilted back, and then the water is much lower. And I called it the summer beach and the winter beach because when the water is much lower, that makes room for all of the beachgoers. And when the water is much higher, there isn't very much room for beachgoers, so the summer beach makes room for the beachgoers. Well, this year, we have a winter beach. We do not have the summer line. We almost even have a little less because we have the high winter line without a storm. So with a storm, I don't know. And when it tilts back in the winter, I don't know either. It's very exciting. But I have had dreams seeing the ocean rising. So I feel like one of the things that this prophecy allows us is the ability to really look at some of these as possibilities and get out of our denial that there isn't actually anything happening. There is definitely a lot happening here. There's a lot happening. So the more we're able to just have an open mind and look at this, wow, okay, so if the poles change, or if the planet stops and goes the other way, well, that's, again, not just going to happen like a light switch. It's already happening. If this is already happening, then we have this great opportunity to work with that in our consciousness and look at how that feels to us. How is that going to affect us? How is that going to change our lives? Now, it's going to destroy the grid. This is one of the first things that came to me. It's, you know, one of the first things that came tangibly to explain this. And I've heard a lot of theories and things around, which are also valid about sunspot storms and these kinds of things that could definitely happen as well. But this would definitely, the planet changing rotation would sew it up. We would not be having a temporary grid down. We would have no grid. This would change the electromagnetic swing permanently. Permanently. It would completely wipe out the grid. So what does that mean? How does that look? How does that feel? How will we live without our televisions and our Facebooks and our computers and our telephones and all of our wires that we're really quite addicted to at this point? What will we do? How will that be? How will we look at that as an option in our life? What are our options to look at? How can we do that? You know, these are questions that I think we need to talk to each other about. These are questions that we need to make space for each other to have a lot of feelings about. This stuff is very, very, very emotional. It brings up deep primal emotion on all levels. Fear, ecstasy. How many people do I know will not be so happy when this crap and these weird people go away so we can actually have a world without war? I'm not going to miss a one of them. Bring on the purifier, man. Let's clean up this joint and stop killing each other. You know, I was at the Holocaust Memorial today, and here's this, you know, these glass walls, three stories literally high, etched with names, thousands and thousands. And I'm like, geez, have we killed enough people? Do we know that we, you know, that it didn't really solve anything? You know, I'm really looking forward to this purification, but it's not just that. I mean, it's a very profound, deep transformation in our consciousness, in our psyche, in our way of thinking and feeling and being with each other. So I really, if there's anything I can do to support each and every one of us in educating ourselves and opening our minds and talking to each other, because we are all a part of nature. So the easiest way to connect with nature is to love each other, because each one of us is a part of nature. And all we have to do is reach out and connect. And we're connecting with nature. And my friend Kenny gave me a really good one I want to share with all of you. He says, if you see someone and they don't have their smile, give them one of yours. That's connecting with nature, right there, just sharing a smile. That's connecting with nature. It doesn't have to be that hard. We just have to begin and remove our denial glasses and really do our best to get our heads around the fact that these changes are real, that this is not make-believe, that it's not just a bad dream, that it's actually going to get better after it gets much harder, but that's why it has to get harder, so that we can remember again who we are and what we're doing here, and that the earth and the universe are our sustenance, and not the bankers, and not this false system of money. So I think that perhaps I will close and read this one more time and let you all go with this in your mind and cleanse all of my talking. And we didn't have any callers, but I hope that we will eventually. And so I'm just going to read this more quickly than the first time, to leave you all with this prophecy, to let this go with you all and let it comfort you on your journey. The Hopi Blue Kachina, Red Kachina prophecy. An ancient Hopi prophecy states, when the Blue Kachina makes its appearance in the heavens, the fifth world will emerge. This will be the day of purification. It will come when the Sasquahoku, Blue Kachina, dances in the plaza and removes his mask. In the final day, we will look up in the heavens, and we will witness the return of the two brothers who helped create this world in the birthing time. Ogongoya is the guardian of the North Pole, and his brother, Olongahoya, is the guardian of the South Pole. In the final days, the Blue Star Kachina will come to be with his nephews, and they will return the earth to its natural rotation, which is anti-clockwise. The twins will be seen in our northwestern skies, and they will come to visit flying in their patavotas, flying shields, to see who have remembered the original teachings. They will bring many of their star family with them in the final days. The return of the Blue Kachina, who is also known as Nanga Shohu, will be the forewarning that tells us there will soon be a new day, new way of life, and a new world coming. They will start as fires that will burn within us. We will burn up with desires and conflict if we do not remember the original teachings and return to a peaceful way of life. Not far behind will come the purifier, the Red Kachina, who will bring the day of purification. On this day, the earth, her creatures, and all life as we know it will be offered a chance to change forever. There will be messages that precede the coming of the purifier. They will leave messages to those on earth that remember the old ways. The messages will be found on the living stone, through the sacred grains, and even the waters. From the purifier will issue forth a great red light. All things will change in their manner of being. Every living thing will be given the opportunity to change from the largest to the smallest living thing. Those who return to the ways given to us in the original teaching and live a natural way of life will not be touched by the coming of the purifier. Okay, I have to close. Thank you all for tuning in to the Alchemy of Light broadcast. Thank you, good people, BBS Radio. I'm Jamil Graham, your host. You can find the prophecy on alchemyoflife.org. Please take good care of yourself and good care of each other. Bye-bye.